Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. We got the band back together. Everybody's here. Ziggy Rodriguez is here.
That's me.
And so is Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are
you? I'm doing great. This is wonderful. And
It is wonderful.
We find ourselves in the 18th Sunday. I know you're keeping up with this, Tom. 18th. You got a calendar on your refrigerator?
I do.
Honey, it's the 18th Sunday of Ordinary Time.
Yes, we made it.
Time to mow the yard. Yes, always interesting at the Dorian household, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It's never a dull moment. Hello, and, Cindy, speaking of.
Oh, yeah. Well, I get to say hi to my wife, too.
Yeah.
Hi, Beth.
Oh, and we have a new listener as well, a nine-week-old pug named Buffy that my sister just picked up. So, hi, Buffy.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
I went on a trip with my sister to pick her up, you know. So
oh, that's
Buffy's
nice.
On my mind.
What
She's
a good,
cute.
What a big brother.
She's a good pug.
All right. That's awesome. Nice. That's our first pug listener, I think, as a matter of fact. That I know of.
Could be the last.
Yes. Anyway, I was struck by the readings for Sunday. It's, the first readings from Isaiah, and we've heard all these readings before. I think we've probably already talked to him.
Did a show.
We've done shows on everything, I think. I'm pretty sure we've done a show.
What are we up to, like 9,000?
Nope, 830. This is the 830th show.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That
That's
is a
415
lot.
Hours of nonstop just excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's... Well, but the thing is, that's a lot.
Us.
It's a lot of talking. And I know when we started this thing, I don't think we said, like, I hope we can get up to 500 hours.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we ever said that. So
no.
We're right around the corner. You know?
Unreal.
So I'm looking forward to it.
It's crazy.
Anyway, yeah, we'll have a big... we'll have some special sprinkled donuts or something on that
maybe
day.
Maybe cake.
Yeah, ooh.
And ice cream.
Okay, now you're... Let's just go ahead and say it's 1,000. Tomorrow's next week is our 1,000th episode. We're doing it early. You know, just want to beat the rush, you know.
Right.
Anyway, so I was looking at the readings because I always look at the readings because it's like we should be looking at the readings.
Yes.
Anyway, but I do it also because it's like, well, what are we going to talk about in the show? And it's like usually
it's
love...
It's kind of your job too, isn't it?
To some degree as a deacon, I need to know what the readings are.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny like in the middle of a Mass or right at the beginning of Mass, you know, a priest might lean over to me and ask me a question. I'm going like, I better know what week is it? It's like, are you asking because you're trying to trip me up or are you really just want to know? Because they're doing like the collect prayer and they have to make sure it's open to the right page or whatever. And so everyone's... So I just do my due diligence and I just look at the week, what the number is, what the readings are, you never know.
You never know.
Should we keep our local deacons on their feet by when passes us by? We say, pop quiz, next week's readings.
No, the way I do that is we have multiple deacons at the parish, and so when I get done with the Book of the Gospels, I just move the ribbons. No, I don't. I do not do that. That would be a really bad thing. It's like, Father's preaching, but he didn't think he was preaching on that reading.
It's Christmas already.
Yeah, exactly. Right. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Okay, so, you know, as I look at Isaiah chapter 55 in this prophecy, we've heard it before. Thus says the Lord, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come receive grain and eat. Come without paying and without cost, drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully. Listen, that you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David. And then the responsorial psalm is the 145th psalm. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs, is the response. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. And the Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. And then the gospel is Matthew's. It's in chapter 14 of Matthew, and it's Matthew's version of the feeding of 5,000. And when Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat and to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me," and he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So that's a slew of people.
It's a bunch.
It's a bunch, you know, of people. It's kind of like one of my road trips. You know, it's just it's a lot of people there. You know, so when we stop at McDonald's, it's a major mush.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. There's so much in here. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you know, the first thing you think of is like the Lord provides. I mean, because that's what Isaiah, you know, the prophet is saying, that, you know. But it's not just the Lord is providing your basic needs, right? It's embellished. It's more. It's flavorful. It's to abundance, right? You know, when you look at the gospel reading, there's some key phrases that I just absolutely love. And one of those is they all ate and were satisfied. Mm-hmm. Now you stop and think about that. Now I don't usually, when I visit, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken, or, you know. When I finish, I go, like, "That's good,
D's.
Captain D's." That was good. That was good. Mm-hmm. I don't usually sit back and go, "I am satisfied. I am satiated. I don't need to ever eat again."
Right.
You know, I've only had a couple of meals like that. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife's a great cook. You know, and then sometimes when we go to like a really fancy steakhouse or something like that, like, "That was really good." Mm-hmm. Right? And it was great company. It was like, talk about satisfaction. I'm going to sleep well tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens a few times. But for all of them, for this many people, which I'm guessing is probably 10, 15, 20,000 people more,
well,
maybe.
It could be north of 50.
Yeah, because we're talking about 5,000 men.
Right.
And they're going to have
big families.
And families,
yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know if they took their whole family, but like,
yeah.
All the kids in the car, we're going to the beach.
Right.
Now we're going to go hear Jesus. Mm-hmm. I heard this Jesus is talking, and we're driving,
yeah.
Or walking or muling or whatever you do.
Yeah.
Right? We're heading that way. So I imagine they were all real hungry. But to be able to eat from five loaves and two fishes and be satisfied, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a miracle.
Absolutely. And I think there's a couple of things that come to mind as I'm, you know, kind of praying through this with you guys. First, I think that it's really hard for us these days in the world that we currently live in to really put ourselves in the place of the people at that time who were being fed. Right, because we live in a time. Listen, there's a lot that, as we've pointed out in the show, that's wrong with our time. You know, there's a lot of lies that pervade our culture. A lot of things that can create confusion about what matters in life and can draw us away from the things of God. This is true, but we do live in a time of relative abundance compared to what people lived in back then. Even here in the United States, you know, we see these videos of folks coming from Europe, and they were shocked by how well stocked our grocery stores are, how big the servings were, you know, at our restaurants.
Yeah, Old
and
Country
meals.
Buffet and Bucky's.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they go back with.
Old Country Buffet was described as posh, you know, or Golden Corral, one of those two, and by a British person who was just excited by the opulence of it, right?
Well, the British, though, honestly, though, they have terrible food, so I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sorry for you British people that are listening right now, and you're trying your best to listen to this, you know.
That's a classic, man. That's going to be...
I really don't...
I really did get mail on that one.
I traveled... You know, my life, I've been to several different countries, and I like to sample the local cuisine. I just don't remember having a good meal in England. I'm sorry. You know, I tried shepherd's pie, you know.
Didn't do it for you?
No, it didn't.
Beans on toast?
I did. You know what? I'm sorry.
Is that what it's called?
So the people...
It's like cans of like Van Camp's pork and beans poured on a white bread.
Well, so then the people of England today may be able to be in a better position to put themselves in the shoes of the folks
maybe
audience with Jesus than us, right?
Thanks for trying to get us back on point.
No, but
we live in abundance, and the food's good, right. And we have almost everything we need.
Yeah. Well, right. Well, but of course, also, it's interesting because I think, you know, if you now tie that to... what, you know, the messaging at the end that you're building on is they ate and were satisfied, right? I mean, I think also in our time, we've got so many distractions and desires that we wouldn't normally have if it weren't for consumer culture and social media and all the various things that get us caught up in these if-onlys. If only I had this, if only I had that. And we start thinking in terms of what we don't have rather than what we do have. And as Ralph Martin said in his book that he released recently, I forgot the exact title of it. I think it's The God of All Desires, or something similar to that, where that God is the satisfaction of all of the desires of the human heart. It kind of relates to Augustine, you know, like, you know, my heart is restless until it rests in thee. And I think that the satisfaction that we're seeing from these people is a state of rest that they're entering into, that like their needs and desires, not just the desires of their body, but also that of their heart, that there was an encounter there by the living God, meeting them where they are and satisfying those desires. I think that that's really what is being described there. And I think that that's another way in which it's hard for us to place ourselves in their position, because we in our society, we're not in a habit of allowing ourselves to rest in God. A lot of times we're at mass and we're thinking about, oh, okay, well, after this, I got to go mow the lawn. I got to go do this. I got to do that. And we're not even focused on allowing ourselves to receive the gift of the Mass, mm-hmm. and to rest in Him. Mm-hmm. And so even at the most holy meal that anyone could imagine, people are failing to eat and be satisfied.
Yeah, absolutely. So this satisfaction is one of those little phrases that, you know, I think about my own life when I do sort of a self-examine and realize, you know, am I truly satisfied? And when's the last time I have been satisfied? And then I start to be reassured that, like, this Catholic faith is the closest thing. It's the best thing. It's the ticket, right? It's, if I'm looking for satisfaction, this is where I'm going to find it. I've tested this over the years, and I tell people when I'm teaching OCIA, when I'm talking about people who are thinking about converting the Catholic faith, I say, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't feel like I'm there. I phrase it this way. Be careful with how you take this, but... Mm-hmm. I wake up every morning and think, Lord, if there's something better, I need to know what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to stay here because I just look around, I don't see anything better. This is really, it must be it. But I do test every day and think, I'm going to follow the Lord wherever He leads me. So if He led me to another church, I would go if that's what the Lord had done. So far, He hasn't done that, which tells me I think we're in the right place. But at the end of the day, there's no other faith tradition in my mind that provides this kind of sustenance, that provides the what you talked about, the holiest meal, the best meal that you'd ever have, the closest you could ever be to God is Eucharist, right? Until you die and you basically see Him face to face. So it's like, that to me is like, this is where I need to be. And I see that in those readings. You know, there's another aspect of this. You mentioned the world today, and I just wanted to reiterate that again. You talk about the distractions that we're in, right? What I will tell you is, even with all of this, the apparent abundance, the apparent, you know, there's still starvation, by the way.
Yes.
You know, there are still problems, there's still poverty, there's still an unequal distribution of things. There are still people in need. But for those, you know, who have access, there's tons of stuff. And to some degree, a great sadness in that there's so many distractions in life. And we live in one of the greatest, most abundant countries in the world, right? There's some towering responsibilities with all of that. But at the end of the day, with all of this, I think it's important for us to understand that this reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, we still need to be fed, right? At the end of the day, we're not in a place where it's like, well, we don't need God anymore. Mm-hmm. We need this superabundance. We need this miracle because all these things that we have do not satiate. Mm-hmm. You don't sit back, like I said, I keep wanting to go to Taco Bell, but then I keep wanting to avoid Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. Y'all just look at the news and you know why I'm avoiding mm-hmm. Taco Bell. But my point is, I love Taco Bell, by the way, you know, but it's like, I think in terms of like what we do every day, and we eat this food and this tastes good and we like that. And we got our air conditioners turned up to a nice comfortable level and we're watching whatever we want on television. And it's just like, we have all this stuff. And yet we rarely, if ever, lean back and go, I am satiated. Mm-hmm. I am satisfied. Mm-hmm. I don't need anything else, right? We still need, so this like this idea, even in this world of superabundance, we still need to be fed. We still need God, and God is the only source who can satisfy, who can actually, give us that what would last us forever, right? He can allow us to taste eternity. That's a unique gift. That's why I feel sorry, I feel sorry for might be the wrong words, but that's why I wish for our Protestant brothers and sisters that they would be able to see the sacramental life for what it is, mm-hmm. to be able to taste eternity.
You know, also there are, I think, something that we can draw from, there's some confessors in the Catholic Church who have adopted a technique that I think is theologically grounded and related to what we're describing here. And what they'll do is...
It's not the rack.
Yeah, exactly. It's the rack, yeah. No, when they're talking to somebody, especially somebody who might be caught up in an addiction, for example.
Yeah.
You know, or it's some grave sin where they find themselves saying, why do I keep doing this? Or why did I do that? You know, kind of similar to St. Paul saying, the things I don't want to do, I'm doing, right? And the things that I want to do, I'm not doing, right? So what these confessors will sometimes do, and this is based, you know, you've got like St. Thomas Aquinas saying that human beings, we were created to seek the good, and that we just get confused about what is good, and we're choosing evil under the aspect of the good. And this is also similar to St. Augustine, that a lot of times what we have is skewed desires. And so what these confessors will try to do is say, you know, what do you think you actually were desiring in your heart of hearts? Like, if we take it from take this notion that ultimately what we desire is God, and that God is the source of all of our heart's desires, but a lot of times when we're not finding God in one way or another in our lives, we allow ourselves to get confused. We allow our desires to get skewed. We allow them to sort of like just go all over the place, right, including to some dark places. I think there's a great brilliance in asking a person in the confessional, why do you think, what is it you were actually seeking? You know, meditate upon that sin that you have been giving yourself to, or you gave yourself to in this instance.
Yeah.
What is it your heart really was crying out for? Because God does want...
What is that sin trying to replace, right?
Yes.
What is the real need?
What's the real need? Because God wants to meet us in that real need. He's aware of that confused space that we're in, and what we're instead of pursuing the real need, we're chasing after the wrong kind of stuff, and he's trying to help us redirect it. But we need to be able to be in touch with what is it that our heart is ultimately really crying out for. And frankly, it is crying out for God. It is crying out to know I matter. I was loved into existence. Like, I am... This is not just a brief flicker of time in which I exist. I was created for eternity. I was created to love and be loved. I have a purpose. There's meaning. You know, I have relationship, a perfect relationship with a perfect God that awaits me. And he has created me to enter into a deep relationship by and through him with others, whereby I may love and be loved. These are the sort of things that ultimately bring satisfaction to the heart. Why? Because our hearts were created for this. He who is love,
my heart is restless until it rests in thee.
Yes.
Right? And it just takes us a while to get there.
Well, he who is love created us in his image.
Yeah.
And so he created us to be fulfilled in that love. Mm-hmm. And at some point we just have to, no matter where we are and how far we might be living from that love, we need to allow ourselves to let God send that grace into us to awaken us within the hope of, you know what, I was made for more. I was made for love. And I do want to live in that way. And if we allow ourselves to rest and allow, give him space to bring us healing and bring us, redirect us, he can do that because he created us for it.
Yeah, it just reminds me, of my own self several years ago when I was having sort of a reversion in faith. And before the reversion in faith was a recognition that there was a hole in my heart.
Yeah.
Right? A big old Jesus-sized hole in my heart. And it took me a while to understand that. Because it seemed like no matter what I put into the hole, like whatever I was there, you know, whatever it is that I thought would satisfy me and give me meaning and purpose and all that stuff, it just made the hole bigger. It was like one of those horror movies when you're running down the hall to the door, the escape, and they make this fancy lens trick that makes the door, no matter how fast you run and far you run, it seems like that you never get there. Yeah, it's like further away and you just keep running towards it. And that's really what it was like for my own heart. And until I realized, you know, and then, and the Lord helped me realize that, like, no, this is home. This is where you need to be. And you were baptized into this church, and you need to know about more about your church. That's what you need to do, is learn more, which I did, and you know, the rest is history. Mm-hmm. But it's like there's this thing where it's like we wonder what our real need is, and God is there. He was there before us. He'll be there after us. But the whole point is he knows what our real need is, and it's him. Mm-hmm. We just have to see that. So this whole thing about, I mentioned we still need to be fed, but I just want to be clear that it's beyond sustenance, mm-hmm. right? Sustenance, we sustain, we meet a basic minimal level of existence. Mm-hmm. We are being sustained. So sustenance is like, you know, I'm getting by to tomorrow. I'm getting by to the day after that. I'm just one day at a time. We're just doing this thing. But God promises more. And this is what's so, I think, beautiful about. It's not, this is why that phrase, they were all satisfied, mm-hmm. right? This is why that's so important to me. Because it's the first time some of those people are realizing that they can be satisfied.
Yes.
Right? And I think that God promises us more than just mere sustenance, just enough to get by. I guess we have enough food or grain because, you know, as in an agrarian culture, you worry about this year and this crop. You don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. And the rich people, if they had excess, they'd put it in their barn. You know, it's like, what do we do? It's like you're really living from year to year. And here God is promising more. And it's like, you know, you who have no money, come receive grain and eat. Come without paying, without cost, drink wine and milk. Then he goes on to say, come to me heedfully, listen that you may have life, right? Heed me and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. You're not just going to have sustenance. You're not just going to have just the basic thing to get by. You're not going to take that off of my to-do list, right? It's way beyond that. And I think the last thing I kind of wanted to focus on here is this idea, there's one other little phrase that slips by, and I mention it every time I read these Gospels. In this particular Gospel, In this version, they have 12 wicker baskets left over. They only had 5 loaves and 2 fish, which would barely fit in one basket. Wouldn't even fill up one basket. But they have 12 wicker baskets left over. And that 12 number is not insignificant. I mean, this is why, because that's what John mentions. This is what Matthew mentions. And that there's these 12 baskets. How many apostles were there? There's 12. Right? How many families
in tribes of
Israel are there? 12. Right? So this is God saying there's enough forever. There's enough for every tribe. There's enough for the four corners of the earth. That's basically in superabundance. And God is saying you need nothing more than me. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what that 12 says to me. And so don't ever think, you know, that God has just given you, like he's putting breadcrumbs in front of you, right? We may eat a very, very thin little small host at Mass, but there's a superabundance there that is beyond measure, that we can't even fathom the divinity, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of God presented to us, given to us, and then received into us, and we become a living tabernacle containing the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Talk about superabundance. This is how God wants to sustain us. So never take for granted your Catholic faith. Never take for granted this gift of the sacraments, this opportunity to commune with God, to be with God in a way that really is unique to the Roman Catholics, but also to our Eastern brothers and sisters. Where we have this superabundance available to us. It's not like going down to the grocery store and getting food for the next couple of days, right? Superabundance is what God offers, and superabundance is really what we need, and it will satisfy every desire that we could ever have. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.